Dear God, we thank you for the amazing news that we have in Jesus, that we can be friends with you through him, through his death, and that there is nothing in all our creation that can separate us from God's love for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we pray this in his name now. Amen. Well, I'm Jack. I was part of the Holiday Kids Club team here at TPC this week. And this week at Holiday Kids Club, or HKC, because we love acronyms here, we have been polar explorers on a polar expedition, hence the background. And as Isaac said, you know, we're not trying to make you feel even colder than you already are. The point of it all really has been that anyone and everyone can come on God's big expedition. As we've seen multiple times, our memory verse has been that nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love for us in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 8:39. And so we have learned this week that you can never be too hopeless for God. You can never make too many mistakes. You can never be too near or too far away. You can never be too bad or too young and or too old. But there is a good chance, I reckon, today that you here, you don't feel like you're particularly hopeless, really. Not hopeless like the guys that we read about in that story. And, you know, while everyone makes mistakes, you've made a normal amount, you know, not like someone who, like Peter, who keeps stuffing up again and again. You don't feel far off, perhaps, because you've been surrounded by churches and Christians your whole life, maybe. And you know that you're not a violent murderer like Paul, and so you're not really that bad. And perhaps you don't feel like you're particularly young anymore either. Perhaps in the end, you just generally feel like you are a normal person. Like all of the examples that we hear about at Kids Club, they're all in the extremes, right? And I'm just here trying to be a regular person. I'm not even particularly religious. No, none of this really applies to me. Well, today in the passage that Isaac read for us from Acts 16, we meet a woman named Lydia, who is also, I would say, rather normal. She doesn't seem to have like a mysterious dark past. She has a good job. She has friends. She has a house. She's moved cities, probably for work, and so she's like most people who live in Canberra. In short, she's kind of normal, ordinary even, and yet God goes out of his way, sending his followers into a new continent to call her to be a part of his big expedition. God is recruiting even normal, ordinary people, perhaps like you, into his big expedition. And so today we're going to talk about how you could never be too normal or too ordinary or too regular for God's big expedition. Now, there has been a question that's been bothering me a little all week as we've worked through the stuff at Holiday Kids Club, and that's this sort of vagueness, ambiguity around this phrase, being a part of God's big expedition. Does it mean becoming a Christian, you know, trusting in Jesus for the first time? Or does it mean going off to serve God, to tell people about Jesus? And the material that we've worked through kind of doesn't really make it, you know, it's a bit vague. It seems to mean one or the other whenever it sort of feels like. And I think actually in the end, I've resolved my dilemma, and I think there's a good reason for that. It's because everyone who is called to come and trust Jesus, to put their faith in him, is also called to serve him too. It might not mean becoming a missionary or a pastor, but it does mean serving and working for God's big mission. And we see that with Lydia as well, actually. And so, you can never be too hopeless, you can never make too many mistakes, you can never be too near or far, too bad, too young, or too ordinary for God's big expedition. So let's look at our passage. So if you look at, if you've got your Bible open there at Acts 16, you can have a look at verses 11 and 12, and we see Paul. This was a bad guy from day four at Holiday Kids Club, if you remember. He was the bad guy. He was called Saul. Now he's called Paul, and he's a good guy now. And he's with his friends out on God's big expedition. When it says we, at the start of verse 11, that's who it's referring to, Paul and his friends, including a guy named Luke, who wrote this book. And they're on a big adventure, because you can see all those tricky place names that they go to. Well done, Isaac, reading them. they're sailing from a place called Troas to a place called Philippi. And we should have a map up behind me. This is from northwest Turkey to a place in northern Greece, or Macedonia. And they stay in that place in Philippi for a while, out on God's big expedition. Then we see in verse 13, on the Sabbath, that's for us really the weekend, it was a special day for Jewish people, they head outside of the city gate looking for a place of prayer that they're expecting to find. Now, normally when Paul and his friends arrive at a new place, a new city, they would go find the local Jewish community and tell them about Jesus. This would normally be at something called a synagogue, which is sort of a little bit like our churches today, but for Jewish people. However, they don't actually find one here in Philippi, which means that there probably aren't many Jews in this city at the moment, at least not many Jewish men, because I think a synagogue needed 10 men, 10 Jewish men to form. And so instead they go out looking for the place of prayer they know they'll find by the river. And when they get there, they sit down to talk with the women who were meeting there. And one of them is named Lydia. And in verse 14, we learn four important things about her. First things first, we learn that she is a woman. Now, all of the other characters that we've looked at Holiday Kids Club have been guys. They've been men. They've been at least born male, because one of them, poor guy, was a eunuch. And this is important here that we see Lydia as a woman, because it reminds us that the message of Jesus is for everyone, and that both men and women are invited to join God's big expedition. In particular, Paul, the guy who's doing the talking here and who wrote a large chunk of the New Testament, he's often criticized for his views on women. However, here, he happily sits down with a group of women and tells them the good news about Jesus and invites them to join God's big expedition. He doesn't find any Jewish men in the city, it seems, but he will just as gladly talk with a small group of women by the river. As Paul himself wrote in his letter to the churches in Galatia, a little sneak preview to one of Isaac's sermons coming down the track, I think, says, he said, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." The message of Jesus is for everyone. Everyone. And it's funny because I think Christianity and the church has this reputation today of being a place for old white men. And that actually couldn't be further from the truth. Statistically, around the world, there are more women in churches than men, often by a fair distance. The message of Jesus is not only for women, it seems as though it's something that women need to hear and want to hear too. And as for, well, old and white, well, that may be the case in some places in Australia. But Christianity is declining around the world in your sort of traditional white or Western countries, but thriving in places like Africa and Asia, and often among the younger generations too. It won't be long before world Christianity is undeniably not old, nor white, nor male. In fact, I doubt it's even the case right now, because the message of Jesus is for everyone. Everyone is invited to join God's big expedition. The next thing we learn about Lydia is that she is a dealer in purple cloth. She has a job. This is a woman with a job in the ancient world, and she has a very good one too, I might add. Purple cloth was the colour of royalty because it was the most expensive dye you could find. It apparently took tens of thousands of a rare sea snail and lots of labor to produce the dye or the pigment you needed to produce this color. And so over time, over the centuries, it simply became the color of royalty because it was just ridiculously expensive. And so if Lydia is dealing in this kind of cloth, she's probably doing all right for herself. Perhaps the equivalent of a jeweler or a high-end fashion shop owner today. We're looking at someone who is probably very middle or upper middle class here. And, you know, let's be honest. If you are in Canberra, perhaps you work for the public service, if you own your own home, well, you're like Lydia. and most of us here, I would imagine, by world and historical standards, we are doing all right for ourselves, just like Lydia seemingly was. And in this way, Lydia, and perhaps you yourself, perhaps me myself, we become a little less ordinary and a little more extraordinary. See, Jesus himself, he had a real affinity and bond with the poor. He often hung out with them. He helped them a lot, healing them. And he taught that people should be generous to them and take care of them was one of the main features of his message. And on the flip side, he often clashed with those who were wealthy, like Lydia and perhaps like yourself. In fact, throughout the Bible, wealth is seen as a great barrier to faith. Jesus says you cannot serve both God and money, and that it's harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. But nothing is impossible for God. And so Lydia, despite her wealth, she trusts in Jesus. It might be an interesting exercise to think of the ways your own wealth might be holding you back from trusting Jesus or from serving him. You might feel like you have everything you need and that you don't need God. Although, as we learned from Survival Man, man versus death, God versus sin, it's a battle only Jesus can win. And no amount of money can save you from sin or death. Perhaps, on the other hand, in order to preserve your wealth, there might be great demands on your time and energy and attention, whether that's through work or other commitments, meaning you don't feel like you have the time or energy or attention to commit to Jesus the way you should. Perhaps in the end, you just feel like you're better than those church people who are awkward and weird, and so you don't really want anything to do with them. If any of these things sound at all like you, it's my hope that you can learn from Lydia's example in this passage as we keep working through it. The third important thing we learn about Lydia, apart from the fact that she's from a place called Thyatira, the third important thing we learn about Lydia is that she is a worshipper of God or a God-fearing woman. Now, this might sound weird as she's been called this before she trusts in Jesus. But what this probably means is that Lydia was not born a Jew. She was not born into God's Old Testament people, but she started worshipping the God of the Jews later in her life in some capacity. That's why she's there, likely praying with other Jewish women. Now, this kind of thing did happen where pagans or those who followed sort of the Greek or Roman religion started worshipping the Jewish God, but it wasn't super common. It does tell us, I think, something important about Lydia, though. I think it means that she's been searching for God. She's been searching for the truth. She didn't just stick with the religion she was born into, but was on a quest for meaning and ultimate truth. And in the end, she found it, as we see here, in Jesus. And so is this like you? Are you searching for meaning? Are you dissatisfied with what this world and our culture has to offer? Do you feel discontented with the everyday and you long for something more? Are you, like Lydia, on a quest, an expedition, if you like, for ultimate truth? And then may I suggest that, like Lydia, you will find it in Jesus. He is the ultimate meaning and reason behind our existence. We exist to glorify him, for he made us. Check out this epic paragraph from Paul's letter to the Colossians. He says, "The Son, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So in Jesus, all things were created, and in Jesus, all things hold together. He is the head of the church. He is the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might be at the top. All God's fullness dwells in Jesus, and through Jesus, God reconciled to himself everything through Jesus' death on the cross. That's the only way we can have peace with God, through the blood that Jesus shed on that cross. And look, that's a pretty big deal, given that God created each and every one of us through Jesus, and we will all stand before him one day. So if we trust in Jesus, we join this new team, go on this new expedition, and have peace with God. And so, are you looking for meaning and purpose? Well, this is it, right here. What could mean more, what could matter more than joining this team and serving this king? The final thing we learn about Lydia is perhaps the most important, though. You can see there what it says in verse 14, at the end of the verse, that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. This is why you, too, can never be too hopeless. You can never make too many mistakes. You can never be too far away. You can never be too bad, too young or old, to join God's big expedition. It's because it is the Lord who opens hearts through his Holy Spirit. It doesn't depend on us, because if it did, we would all be in deep, deep trouble. Because even though we might feel like we're not hopeless, we might feel like we haven't really made that many mistakes, we might feel like we're not so far away, we might feel like we're not that bad, well, the reality is that we are. It's the same for Lydia too. In fact, we're so hopeless, so full of mistakes, so far off, so bad, so immature, that we could never respond to the good news of Jesus, his death and his resurrection, on our own. We need God, through his Holy Spirit, to open our hearts. And so my question is God opening your heart? Perhaps he's just started this week or today. Perhaps he's been working on it for a long, long time. And so how will you respond? Will it be like Lydia, who then goes on to get baptized, symbolizing her trust and faith in the Lord Jesus? Well, it's my prayer that it is. If you think God might be opening your heart and you want to go deeper, you want to find out more about this Jesus, we would love to help. You can come to chat to me or many, many people here at church today. We also have this new event coming up that Isaac talked about, the little meal and introduction to Jesus we're calling Why Jesus, happening on the 29th of July. This could be something for you. Because, like Lydia, no one, including you, including me, is too normal or too ordinary to join God's big expedition. Now, I hope we've established here that Lydia joins in this big expedition, and we talked earlier that everyone who comes to trust in Jesus is called to serve him too. And that is what we see from Lydia in the final verse of this little passage in verse 15. We see she's not the only one who is baptized. Her whole household is too. She shares her new faith with her whole household, which may have included family and servants and the like. And they come to trust in Jesus as well. She doesn't stop with that, though. The Lord keeps opening her heart and encouraging her to serve. And so in verse 15, we see that she convinces Paul and his friends to stay at her house as well. In the culture of that time, that wouldn't have just been sort of a spare room at the back and fend for yourself. This meant generous hospitality, sharing and caring for your guests. And in this way, she plays a key part in supporting God's big expedition. And this kind of role is really valuable too. I mean, think about a soccer team. Everyone pays attention to the forwards, to the strikers. Everyone wants to be a striker because they score the goals. And scoring more goals than the other team is kind of the whole point of the game. But a team that's entirely made up of strikers and doesn't have midfielders, defenders, or a goalkeeper is useless and will fall in a heap. Or if a netball team has only goal shooters, they would literally be unable to play because the whole team would be stuck in one corner of the court. In the same way, the team for God's big expedition is not just made up of those who go out and score the goals. the ones who go out preaching the good news of Jesus on the streets and in the synagogues. You need midfielders, defenders, goalkeepers too. I don't know netball positions, sorry. You need the other netball positions. You may not feel cut out for God's big expedition because you really struggle to share your faith, or you really struggle to be on the front lines in public, out in front of people. But there is a position for you on the team. Hospitality, like what Lydia shows here, could be one such. You could quietly and gently share your faith with your family and those around you. There's a role for welcomers, and the most unglamorous roles like goalkeeping, like admin, that's still a part of God's big expedition. If you would like to know how you could serve God in this big expedition, we would love to make that happen, whether that's here at TPC or further afield. Your gifts and your interests, they matter to God, and he can use them. There's a place for you too on God's big expedition. There's one final thing of note about Lydia that we may not quite have caught, something that is actually genuinely extraordinary. You may not have noticed, but when Paul left Troas and landed in Philippi, he actually entered Europe for the first time. And Lydia here is the first Christian convert in Europe that we know of. There might have been others before her, but this is the first one we know recorded, as far as I can tell. The first of hundreds, of thousands, of millions, hundreds of millions. There may not be any Christians in your family or where you're from, but perhaps you too could be the first, like Lydia, the first of many. Because you can never be too hopeless, you can never make too many mistakes, be too near or too far, too bad, too young or too old, or even too ordinary to be a part of God's big expedition, to join his team. And he might be doing something incredible through you. Let's finish with those words that Paul wrote in Romans 8, where he says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Lord, whether we feel too hopeless, that we've made too many mistakes, that we're too far off, too bad, too young or too old, or even too ordinary, we pray that you would open our hearts to respond to your message, to join you on your big expedition, whether that means trusting you for the first time for the forgiveness on offer in Jesus through his death, whether that means jumping on and serving you, helping your message go out to all the world. We pray that you would help us respond. Put our trust in Jesus and go out there to serve him. And we pray this now in his mighty name. Amen.